Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. So put yourselves in Mary Magdalene's shoes, or sandals, rather. Try to imagine what kind of grief you must have felt over the last 3 days as our gospel reading begins today. On Friday afternoon, when the sun had been darkened and earthquakes had shaken the land, you had watched your Messiah, your teacher, die a slow, painful, agonizing death by crucifixion. Afterward, you and several of your friends had watched a pair of the Jewish leaders, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, part of the same body that had put Jesus to death in the first place, carry out the very hasty burial arrangements that were possible for your Messiah before placing him in Joseph's tomb, which happened to be in the garden, not far from the site of the crucifixion. Sitting on a rock, you had observed the burial, seen where they had laid the body, even observed the stone being placed in front of the tomb entrance, before returning to the city together for the festival. Not that it had been a particularly happy Passover Sabbath. While the rest of the city celebrated the great victory of God over Pharaoh and Egypt when he had saved his people from their slavery, you had passed a joyless Sabbath day in slavery to your mourning, mourning for the one who was supposed to save you and everyone. But on the Sabbath, you had rested according to the custom before rushing out as soon as it was appropriate, as soon as the sun had set, to purchase all the linens and spices that would be necessary to see to Jesus' burial the right way, now that the work week could begin anew. And so, heart heavy with grief, Mary returns to the tomb, spices and linens in tow, ready to perform her final duty to the man who had been her Messiah, her rabbi, who should have been her savior. Now, when she's going, Mary knows exactly what to expect when she gets to the tomb. A dead body just starting to smell in the spring heat, despite the 75 gallons of myrrh with which it had been wrapped 3 days prior. Jesus is dead. She was there standing by the cross when he had died. She had heard him speak his last words, and she had been there while he was being buried. The soldiers had ensured that Jesus was dead even before allowing Joseph to remove the body from the cross. He had breathed his last. One of the soldiers had even stabbed him in the side with one of the spears they carried, piercing his heart and allowing the separated blood to pour out. And so Jesus' body, dead body, had been placed in a tomb, which at that point was being guarded by sentries from the temple guard. And if that wasn't enough, there was a large rock rolled in front of the tomb so that no one could get in to disturb the body. Maybe those guards would be kind enough to roll the rock away for her to get in and perform her last duties to him. She isn't sure quite what to do about that rock, but that's not her biggest priority at the moment. She has a job to do. She has her grief to sort out. But that all changes the moment that she arrives at the tomb. The rock, that huge rock, is gone. The guards have disappeared. Nothing is as it is supposed to be, she looks inside that empty tomb. What on earth is going on here? Now, naturally, Mary's first instinct is to search for the disciples to look for them for help. Peter and John immediately run to the tomb with Mary close behind them. And yet, by the time she arrives, the disciples have already left. John had arrived. He'd seen the tomb with a rock rolled away and paused in confusion. Peter, always the one to act first, think never, had reached the tomb next, stepped inside, looked around. Finally, John had joined him inside. The two of them shrugged their shoulders, and they walked away without any more information than Mary herself had given them. And meanwhile, Mary here still doesn't have any idea what could possibly have happened. All she knows is that what she expected to find is not there. I wonder how long it was that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping before she finally leaned over to look through the entrance. And imagine her surprise when she finds out that she is not the only one in the garden. There are two people sitting there right where Jesus' body should have been. Did she recognize right away that they were angels? I doubt it. Did she just assume that they were young men wearing all white, perfectly clean and slightly radiant, sitting inside an empty tomb? What? And so the two angels look at her and they ask, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now remember that "woman" here isn't used as a pejorative in scripture. It is simply a term of address. And so they ask her, "Why are you weeping?" And Mary's answer to the angels makes her line of thinking at this moment crystal clear. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." This is exactly what she had thought and said to the disciples when she had first come to the tomb. Nothing seems to have changed for her, and yet Jesus is still gone. She had fully expected Jesus to still be in the tomb when she had arrived that morning. She may have remembered Jesus' sayings that the Son of Man must be crucified and after 3 days rise. She may have even recalled Jesus telling the Pharisees that as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man must be 3 days in the belly of the earth. She may have remembered that, but still she did not understand what that was really going to mean. And so when she found the tomb empty, her first thought was grave robbers. Someone must have stolen this body. And to be honest, that's what a lot of people think happened to Jesus. Someone must have stolen his body. Was it the disciples? No. Peter and John came to look, and they didn't know what was happening either. Was it the women? If it was, then that was a very expensive trick, after all, buying all of the burial spices. And either way, they would have had those soldiers to contend with who had been posted at the tomb to prevent just such an occurrence. Well, the angels don't have any answers for her, or rather, she turns away from them before giving them an opportunity to respond to her statement. So then, what happened? What happened to Jesus' body? That was the only question on Mary's mind that day, up until she turned around and came face to face with the answer. Turning away from the tomb, Mary sees another man standing there behind her who asks her the same question as the angels. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Something in that question has always given me pause. Whoever said that Mary was actually looking for someone before she spoke to the gardener here? Gardener. How did this man know that she was looking for someone that she couldn't find? And more to the point, did Mary realize that the question itself begged evidence that she, or facts that she hadn't given him? But Mary's answer here shows that she hasn't quite picked up on any of this. She assumes that this man must be the gardener who is here very early in the morning, and just happens to be right where she is. If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Never mind the fact that she is probably not strong enough to carry a dead body. But Mary is so hyper-focused on her task that she does not recognize what is standing right in front of her. How well this lines up with so many people in our world today. When confronted with death, when confronted with tragedy, when confronted with the unknown, we just can't see past it. We look for answers, but often we aren't quite ready to receive them. There are many people who look for answers in hedonism, trying to bury their grief under pleasure, chasing that high for as long as they can, hoping to forget the sadness, the lows that lie behind it. Others try to push the grief aside, pretending that the tragedy never happened, ignoring all evidence of it, and just living as though nothing has changed. But one way or the other, we many times are not ready to accept the reality of what has happened. And if that is you, I encourage you to talk about the grief, to process it, to understand it. After all, as Christians, we can and do grieve at the loss of loved ones. And yet, we know that our grief is not permanent. We know that there will be an end to the grief. Now for Mary, that grief ends in a single instant, in a single word, Mary. Her eyes widen in disbelief. Through the tears staining her eyes, she stares in shock at the apparition in front of her and finally recognizes him for who he is. He was himself the answer to her own question, whom are you seeking? The man standing in front of her. He is no gardener, but he is her Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus promised that after 3 days he would rise. All of that is now proven true. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Her grief is gone, is replaced with inexpressible joy. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so what else is there for her to do but to hug him? And when he tells her not to cling to him, she immediately runs back to the disciples with the good news. I have seen the Lord. And over the next few days and weeks, the disciples also would see him, would believe that he had risen from the dead, and that message would spread all the way down the line, even to us today. I have seen the Lord. We, despite the sadness, despite the grief that surrounds us, we are not left alone. We have that truthful witness. The grief has ended. Death is no more. Christ is risen. Mary had gone to the tomb in mourning. She had left the tomb with rejoicing. She had gone to find a dead teacher. She had left having seen a living Messiah. Her mourning had vanished, as does our own. Yes, we do mourn in this life. Like Mary, we see through tears in this life. We suffer loss and death and grief, and sometimes we, like Mary, even forget about the promise that God has given us. But God does not forget his promises. His plan remains certain. He is present with us through the grief. He reminds us that the grief is not the end, that the grief and mourning will be turned to joy and dancing. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.